Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful tonight for your long suffering. You've enabled us to have a day we have never seen before, Lord. But you have given us an opportunity once more to hear the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, tonight that Brother Acuff in proclaiming the gospel, that he teaches about what saith your word about worship. Pray, Lord, that everyone here desires to be a true worshiper. For those who are, may they worship according to spirit and truth. Those who are not, may they understand the vanity and the emptiness in offering something to you that does not please you. Heavenly Father, we pray that your word guide us this evening. Guide us to your truth, and that we accept it as your holy and divine word, and desire to do things by the authority you have given us in Scripture. Heavenly Father, we ask this prayer in the Son of Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Flounder. We are very thankful. I'm Brother Tommy Brooks, the host minister of this nationwide gospel meeting call. Thankful to work with Brother Flounder. He's been a great partner in this whole effort, and we're so thankful Brother Stroud, who supports me as well. And we lead this effort to save souls. We're going to the month of May, and tonight we're heading toward the end of 2020. As we close out December, tonight it's the person of Brother Larry Acuff, someone I met while I was preaching in Adamsville, Alabama, a great gospel preacher he is. He's currently the preacher and elder of the Lithia Springs Church of Christ in Lithia Springs, Georgia. And we're so thankful to have him on our call, to have a preacher elder. Now, a lot of guys like that. Peter was one, and Peter, preacher and elder, but Brother Larry is. He's a great speaker, and we want to ask you tonight, Open your Bible, because we want to study this matter about vain worship, and I think he's very capable of giving us a great lesson on that. And our theme this month has been, God has settled the matter forever, O Lord. Some have said, Psalm 119 and 89, that word has been settled in heaven. We bring on these defenders of truth tonight, the defender of truth, Brother Larry Acuff. What is God settling on this matter, Brother Acuff, about vain worship? Tell us about it.
Well, thank you very much. What a great blessing it is to be a part of this nationwide meeting, and I really am thankful for the opportunity and the invitation. I've always said I'll speak at the drop of the hat, and I'll drop the hat, and it's just always a blessing and a pleasure. We're going to be looking at vain worship. You have a Bible? Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 16. We're going to be looking at the Word of God. In John 12, in verse number 48, our Lord said, He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The words that I speak unto you, they shall judge you in the last days. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the Word of God that you and I must adhere to. The Bible says the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. The words of John in the book of Revelation, chapter number 20, John said, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and every man was judged out of the things that were written in the books according to their works. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the Holy Bible that is important. In John chapter number 15, Jesus said, I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean. Now watch this. Through the word which I have spoken unto you, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. Ladies and gentlemen, every man will stand before God in the day of judgment. The Bible says the books will be open, and we will be judged according to the things that were written in the books. That is why tonight that you are studying with me what the Bible teaches us about vain worship. In Matthew chapter number 15, verses 8 and 9, the Bible says, The people draweth nigh to me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we also know that this was a statement made by Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 29, verse 11. But our Lord said, but in vain they do worship me. In John 4, verses 23 and 24, the Bible says, but the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I want you to look at that verse in John chapter number 4. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, I want you to look at something. The absolute of Christian worship, ladies and gentlemen, is must. He doesn't say, well, if you want to, and this might be. No, no, no. The Bible says God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We see the action of Christian worship, and that is worship. Meaning, the word worship means to prostrate oneself, to render obeisance, respect and reverence, to kiss toward and to serve. So John 4 says, God's a spirit, and they that worship him must, they must worship, and they must worship him. That's the aim, ladies and gentlemen, of Christian worship, and that is God. God is the one we are worshiping, not man. We're not trying to do what man wants done. We must do what God wants done. And the Bible says that we are to do that in spirit and truth, meaning from one's heart and according to the authority of the Holy Bible. John 17:17, the Bible says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. When you and I look at worship, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible speaks for an example of ignorant worship. For an example, if we go to Acts chapter 17, we read of Paul in the city of Athens, and on that occasion, when he confronted some of the citizens of the city about their pagan worship, they had an idol set up to honor an unknown god in case they miss one somewhere. Now, we don't want to miss a god, so let's put this one out here. Paul made this statement, recorded by inspiration, in verse 23. He said, for as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. When you and I look at this, notice he said, to the unknown, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship. There are those, ladies and gentlemen, who worship ignorantly. They've never studied the Bible. They have never examined the Holy Scriptures, and therefore some man comes along and says, I think this is a great idea, and therefore they follow it and worship just as these Athenians did in ignorance. The Bible speaks of will worship. For an example, in Colossians 2, verse number 23, the Bible says, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. The New King James Version, I just quoted you the King James Version, but the New King James Version translates will worship as, now watch this folks, self-imposed religion. In this context, Paul was dealing with some of the very things that Jesus was talking about in regards to the Pharisees back in Matthew chapter 15, verses 7, actually 7, 8, 9, 10. And so we see not only a ignorant worship, but we see a will worship. In other words, those individuals who make the determination for themselves. Some people in Colossae were imposing man-made elements into Christianity which did not belong. For an example, you remember in Colossians 1, verse 18, he speaks of Christ as head of the body, who is the preeminent one. And so this is an extension of what causes vain worship. Backing up to verse 23 of this context, he said, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. Galatians chapter number 1, Paul said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you under the grace of Christ unto another doctrine, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. As I said before, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. And then he asked this question. Do we seek to please men or God? So in Colossians, he says, according to the commandments and doctrines of men, Paul, again, alluded to Jesus' teaching while dealing with will worship or self-imposed religion with the Colossian church. The consequences are the same. The worship is vain, meaningless, and useless, and of no value. Now, in Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 through 9, the Bible speaks of vain worship. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy you, saying, this people draweth nigh to me with their mouth, honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. The word vain means to no purpose. The Pharisees made their worship vain or useless because they had added on the commandments of men to their practices. They were proclaiming praises and honoring God, watch this, with their lips. But their hearts were corrupt because by adding their own tradition. Is that not what we're seeing today in our world, that men, by adding their own traditions, folks, their own requirements to the Word of God, they are setting themselves, now watch this, as an authority higher than God. In other words, God says this, but you must do something more or less or different than what God said. Well, what is that saying? Well, they're setting themselves up as an authority higher than God. Ladies and gentlemen, God says, here is what we are to do in worship. We do five acts of worship. We preach the Word of God. We commune in the Lord's Supper. We pray. We sing. And ladies and gentlemen, we give of our means. Those are five acts of worship that the New Testament authorizes. Now listen to this. Anything other than those five things are vain worship. Such things were said by inspiration to render a worship of no worth. That's what Paul is saying. That's what our Lord is saying. Is a demonstration that our attitudes about worship are not right. Those who exhibit the wrong attitude in their worship are not worshiping in spirit and are therefore excluded from those whom God is seeking to worship Him. Now, I've got four things. I want you to look at this. First of all, I want to look at the explanation of vain worship. Now, Matthew 21, verse 13, the Bible says, Jesus said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. But now watch this. But ye have made it a den of thieves. You have made it a den of thieves. What they were doing, they had turned the temple into, you know, Jesus called them money changers. See, the temple was there. They were to come to worship, but they had turned it into a den of thieves. I want you to think about this. In 2 Kings 5, verse number 11, well, let me give you just kind of the essence of 1 Kings chapter 5, the early part of it. It has to do with a man by the name of Naaman, who had leprosy. He was told that if you'll go to the man of God, he should be able to do something for you. So Naaman goes. And instead, he sends his servant out. And he says to him, you go dip seven times in the River Jordan. Naaman said, man, what? Now, that you got to know the Hebrew to get it like that. Well, we've got places back where I live that much nicer than that old muddy Jordan River. You mean to tell me go dip? No, you got to be crazy. The Bible says in verse number 11 that Naaman was wroth. He went away, and he said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, strike his hand over the place, and cleanse me, recover the leper. I want you to notice these two words, I thought. Ladies and gentlemen, notice he said, I thought. When you and I think about vain worship and we are giving an explanation of it, it begins with I thought, me, myself, and I. Notice something else. 1 Corinthians 11:28-29, but let a man examine himself. So let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily. Now that simply means not having the right attitude or spirit. Many worship from what they have devised, ladies and gentlemen. Now the scripture says, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Vain worship is that worship, ladies and gentlemen, that is not authorized by God, that is not carried out and is not practiced by the God of heaven. Now, I want to show you some examples of vain worship. For an example, Colossians 2, verse number 8, the Bible said, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world. No, it's Christ. Look at some of the, see, beware lest any man spoil you. See, here's what we have today. We have men who are spoiled to entertainment. And I'm going to get to that in just a minute. In Genesis 4, verse number 3, do you remember this? And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground and of the offering unto the Lord, or an offering unto the Lord. Now, what we're looking at, we've looked at the explanation of vain worship. Now I'm looking at an example. Ladies and gentlemen, Cain brought an offering unto the Lord that was not authorized. Vain worship is when you and I were to set the way and not the holy word of God. In Hebrews 11 verse 4, you remember the Bible says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, but yet he being dead yet speaketh. God had told them what to offer. And so Abel offered the sacrifice God had said. Cain, I'm giving you an example of vain worship. Cain did not. Go to Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. Nadab and Abihu, sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, put fire therein, put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. There went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Well, what'd they do, folks? Here is an example of vain worship. In Leviticus 1, verse 7, the Bible says that they are to put fire on the altar, lay the wood in order upon the fire. Oh, but now we want to do it a little bit different. Yeah. See, that's exactly what man is endeavoring to do today. They offered strange fire before the Lord. In Acts 17:22-23, Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill, and he said, you men of Athens, I perceive in all things you're very, or too superstitious, according to the King James Version. The other translation may mean very religious. I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found the altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, and therefore you ignorantly worship him, declare I unto you. Here's an example, ladies and gentlemen, of vain worship. Oh, we don't know who we are worshiping. My friend, when you and I see the explanation of vain worship, we see the example of vain worship. I want you to see some of the expressions today of vain worship. Mark chapter 7, verse 8, the Bible says, for laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things. I want you to, let me give you an illustration. I read across it. This is a quote, ladies and gentlemen. Several years ago, this writer mentioned his wife's name, I'll not mention, and I attended a service, a fairly large church in another city. It was very well organized, had parking lot attendants to greet us, and then more greeters at the door. They directed families with children to the children's ministry to drop off their children. The kids that we saw loved the children's ministry and were excited to be there. As we entered the auditorium, there were strobe lights flashing. Now watch, there were what? Let me read that to you again. Strobe lights flashing. Can you imagine this, ladies and gentlemen? that the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20, when he met with the saints, the Bible said on the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread, they had strobe lights flashing. He said there were strobe lights flashing in the darkened room. There were also fog machines running, and you could not see clearly across the room. As the worship service started, I could not help but notice that the majority of people in the room were not participating in the songs of praise. They were watching the very professional, watch this, the very professional worship team. The couple in front of us were drinking the lattes that they had picked up in the lobby on their way in. It was like they were enjoying the pregame show and waiting for the main event to get underway. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's what we see in our world and our society today. We see that worship has become an event of entertainment. For an example, the use of instrumental music. Ladies and gentlemen, instrumental music violates the principles of New Testament Christianity. For an example, in Ephesians 5:19, the Bible speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, some folks are, oh, but Brother Acuff, that means that solo, P-S-A-L-L-O, oh, Brother Acuff, that's an instrument. The instrument, ladies and gentlemen, is the heart singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And you know, besides that, think about this. If that is an instrument, such as a horn or some type of musical instrument, then everybody would need to be playing it. It's not an entertainment venue, ladies and gentlemen. Worship is where I participate when I lift up my voice. In Colossians 3 and verse 16, the Bible says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Oh, somebody said, "But Brother Acuff, in the book of Revelation, chapter 5 and verse 8, the Bible says there were harps." You know what he said? You got to remember something, ladies. There were harps along with the vials. If you're going to have the instrument based on Revelation 5, verse number 8, ladies and gentlemen, you better get your vials and put your prayers in them. Let's be consistent. The Bible teaches, Revelation chapter number 1, the Bible says that he uses the word when John says, he said, signified, that signified, the book of Revelation are symbolic, ladies and gentlemen. There are symbols there. This does not give Larry Acuff the right to bring an instrument into the worship assembly. The Bible says in Revelation chapter number 22, that you and I are not to add to nor take away from the words of the prophecy of this book. Let me help you to understand. Larry Acuff has not made this determination. The Bible, the Word of God, has made the determination. Oh, somebody said, "Well, they used instruments in the Old Testament." Well, yes, they did. But keep in mind, the Bible says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances, which was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. What has happened today, folks? I did a little research not long ago. I like to see what's going on in our world religiously. And so I just Googled. I think, I can't remember exactly what I put in there, but I think simply to the point that I maybe said the 10 most popular or largest churches in the United States. Well, instead of getting 10, I got 100. So I began to look at the websites of these churches. Do you know what? 9 times out of 10, ladies and gentlemen, the first picture that I saw was of their band on the stage with strobe lights. What's happened? It's become an entertainment. When you and I assemble together to preach, to pray, to sing, to commune with God, and to give of our means, That is what the Lord has authorized. We're not in an entertainment venue, ladies and gentlemen. Hand clapping goes on. I know there's one preacher I heard, let's give the Lord a hand. Let me tell you what the Lord wants. It's not a hand. The Lord wants a heart. And what is taking place, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of, well, they're praise teams. Somebody asked me one day, they said, Brother Acuff, how many you have on your praise team? I said, 165. Everybody sings. Our praise team consists of the entire congregation. You see, ladies and gentlemen, vain worship is unauthorized worship. And so as you and I have looked at the examples, we have looked at the explanation. We have looked now at these particular opportunities of those who are endeavoring today to violate the principles of New Testament worship. I want to look at one more point. What are the effects of vain worship? Let me read the passage to you. Matthew chapter number 7, verse 21 through 23, the Bible says, Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Now, maybe if I just replace this for a minute. Have we not had our strobe lights? Have we not had our entertainment? Have we not had our band? Have we not... In thy name, done many wonderful works. Listen to what the Lord said. Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Vain worship is rejected, ladies and gentlemen, by God. God rejected Cain's worship because it was not as he had directed. Didn't matter. Well, Cain might have didn't have God rejected Cain's worship, folks, because it wasn't what God authorized. God rejected Nadab and Abihu. He rejected their sacrifice, their altar, because they put fire in the censer, not on the altar. God rejected that. 1 Kings chapter 18. Remember. If the Lord be God, you remember Elijah said, if the Lord be God, then serve him. If Baal be God, then serve him. How long will you halt between two opinions? You remember their worship, their sacrifice. All they cried at, the Baal jumped on it, cut themselves. Elijah kind of chatted them just a little bit, and he said, man, you need to call out, or he's on vacation, he's taking a nap, he's entertained, what have you. Fire did not come down from heaven. So, ladies and gentlemen, when you and I look at vain worship, let us worship God in spirit and in truth. I want to encourage you to become a Christian, obey the gospel of Christ, believe in Jesus as the Son of God. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Upon that faith in Christ Jesus, make a change in your life. By repentance, the Bible says, Luke 13:3-5, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You hear the word of God, Romans 10:17, you believe in Jesus as the Son of God, Hebrews 11:6. You repent of your sins, and then with the great confession that we read about in Acts chapter number 8, here's what hinders me to be baptized. And he said, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. And upon that, be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. Acts chapter number 2 and verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Ladies and gentlemen, worship God according to his will upon your obedience to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are so many members of the body of Christ who will help you. Brother Tommy Brooks, the church in Houston, wherever you are, contact someone and obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing it is to be able to study the Bible with you this evening, and it is my prayer that God will bless you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Aka. I know the first time I met you, I was impressed with your studies and your memory of the scripture and how you presented it. And we're so thankful tonight you accepted our invitation to come and be part of our program, the Nationwide Gospel Meeting Call. Thank you so very much. And to those who are listening who are not members of the Church of Christ, it's very clear from the scripture that you could possibly be involved in vain worship, where you have those kind of things going on, as he's discussed tonight, with instrumental music, or praise dancing, praise teams, beatboxing, bass mic, all these kind of things, forms of entertainment, rhythmic clapping, all these things are not authorized by God. That's what we want our business to know. Be careful and make sure you, even in the Church of Christ, make sure you look at the worship service. Participate in it. Know what you're participating in. Make sure it's not something that you're going to hear that dreaded response from Jesus in Matthew 7, as he talked about. And he said that, I never knew you. You are workers of iniquity. You know what? You done it your own way. And he was very clear in Matthew 15:8, as he talked about tonight. They worship me in vain, teaching but doctrine, commandments, and then all these things that are brought into worship coming from men, they're not coming from the scripture. That's what we want. Our vision. Now, we speak the truth in love. We're not trying to put down anyone, but at the end of the day, only you and you are standing before God, and you want to make sure, even if you're in the Church of Christ, that you are not caught up in something that's not pleasing to God. We want you to know it. So tonight, if you're on the call, you want more, you have questions about what's been taught, you want to be baptized, or you want further studies, go ahead and email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. Now, if you have a question, Brother Larry, we'll get that to him, and we'll make sure, I'm sure he'll be happy to respond. But if you have a question, get back with the person who put you on the call. Then Church of Christ member, we invite you to call. We wanted you to hear these truths that we talk about. In Church of Christ, we sing without the help of mechanical instruments and music. We pray. We take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. We don't have rhythmic clapping going on. We don't say things like, let's give God a hand clap or praise. We don't do those things. Because we are concerned with true worship and avoiding vain worship. So that's why we have these messages for you. So if you have a question, send it to us. And then you want to go back and listen to Brother Larry's lesson tonight or any of the messages we've had on our program since the month of May. And go ahead and go to our website at hollandheightscoc.net. That's hollandheightscoc.net. And there you click on Nationwide Gospel Call. And you find all of our sermons there, downloadable. You can listen to them on at your own leisure. And you can also take your time and jot down the scriptures or whatever you need. But remember this. It's appointed unto man once to die. So tomorrow could be, or tonight may be your last night. We don't know. So if you know it's truth, why would you put it off? Why would you do like some have done in our car? Obey the truth. Be baptized for the remission of your sins in the Lord. That's the only church in the Bible. That is the Church of Christ. We don't say that to be mean or put down on the church, but that's the only one in the Bible. That's the only one we're going to talk about. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your blessings of life. Thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you for loving the world, giving your Son, who became sin for us, dying on that cross, suffering after being beaten brutally. Your only Son suffered for us. He would have shed that blood as the Lamb of God. That washed away our sins in baptism. The same blood purchased his church. And we are so thankful that he done that. And Father, we know greater love than no man than this. He laid down his life for his friends. The Son said that. And Father, thank you for your book that you gave us, the Word of God, your book that you've given us, that we can read it and find the truth in a simple way. Thank you for making it very simple. We pray for our listening audience tonight that they will receive your word with meekness and obey it, understand it's able to save their souls. Thank you, Brother Larry Acuff and his congregation. We pray for him and his ministry. And we're so thankful he joined us tonight as one of your men, servants, and defender of the truth. And we've had on, many have, we've had on for our program. Thank you for these men and their wives and their families and their congregation. And thank you for all those members of the Church of Christ who support our call, whether you support it through prayer, attendance, or financial. Lord, we thank you for that. We pray you continue to bless us. And we know that your word don't come back void. It will accomplish that, what's been sent out, what we're doing. You will give the increase, but we must plan on one. And we're doing that. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Thursday night, tomorrow night, closing out our meeting for this week. Brother Otis Smith in Lafayette, Louisiana. He's going to talk about God's word is seldom matter forever about true worship. We've heard about tithing. We've heard about homosexuality this week. We've heard about real worship this week. We've heard about vain worship tonight. Tomorrow night, about true worship. We're so thankful to have men like Brother Larry Acuff. He's a preacher and elder. Just so you know, in the month of January, we'll be bringing on preachers and elders. It'll be the preacher-elder month for the month of January. We got preachers and elders that can proclaim, stand, defend, and contend for this truth. They contend for the faith. Great men of God. You don't want to miss this month. Yes, we're going in 2021. Continue to support us. Continue to pray for us. And continue to invite those who are not members of the Church of Christ. God. May God bless each of you tonight. Have a good night's rest. God bless.